The sun has gone down at Hangman's Hill, and the ghost at Misery Corner isn't walking tonight. So, welcome to the Weird Tales Radio Show, your weekly fix of ghost stories, urban myths, witchcraft, magic, and folklore. And now, here's your host, writer, award-winning journalist, best-selling author, and sometime werewolf hunter, Charles Christian.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Weird Tales Radio Show with me, Charles Christian, as once again we take our weekly dive into the world of weirdness, folklore, urban myths, ghosts, geek culture and the occult. We have another cracking interview coming up, including possibly your chance to win wealth at the casino tables. But first, we start with some administration news. Here at Weird Tales, we're about to launch a new video series called the Weird Tales Video Show. See what you did there? These will be ultra-short videos, minimum of 3 minutes, maximum of 8 minutes, dedicated to, I suppose, gothic spaces and mythic places, including some of the stories and places we've featured or will be featuring on the radio show. More news as and when we get the programming out, but you can find our YouTube channel, including the existing audio library of all the Weird Tales radio shows, at www.youtube.com/c/weirdtalesshow. That's Weird Tales Show. Now, royal news. Not something we normally carry on this show unless it relates to one or more of Henry VIII's poor wives marching around the Tower of London with their heads tucked underneath their arms. OK, he only had two of them beheaded. Here's the rhyme to remind you of the fate of his six wives. Divorce, beheaded, died. Divorce, beheaded, survived. Anyway, it's not Henry VIII we're talking about, nor even Prince Harry and his American wife, Mrs. Prince Harry, despite the fact they've been hogging the headlines on both sides of the Atlantic for the past month. No, we're talking about Prince Philip, a.k.a. the Duke of Edinburgh, who apparently has spent decades building up a huge library of UFO lore and ufology. According to the Fortean Times, the Duke's interest was kindled by his uncle, Lord Louis Mountbatten, who once wrote an official report about an alien who landed on one of his estates. Anyway, it seems that during the lockdown last year, the Duke was seen reading a book called The Holt Perspective about the Rendlesham Forest UFO incident in 1980. Given he's the Duke of Edinburgh, I wonder if anyone's ever says to him, "Beam me up, Scotty." Now, about our interview. Our guest is Dr. Joseph Gallenberger. Joe Gallenberger, PhD, has 30 years' experience as a psychologist, is a senior trainer at the Monroe Institute, and is a psychokinesis expert. His PK, that's psychokinesis, discoveries in university and casino environments are detailed in his books, Inner Vegas, Creating Miracles, Abundance and Health. He has taught 99, and there will be more coming once lockdown is over, Inner Vegas adventure workshops where people achieve dramatic healing and strong influence over dice and slots in casinos. His book, Liquid Luck, the Good Fortune Handbook, and his CD, Liquid Luck, have generated remarkable manifestation results for people at home. And he has also developed the Sync Creation, that's Sync, S-Y-N-C, Creation, a home study course teaching PK. I'll give you all the links after the interview. Right, and it's my great pleasure to be talking to Dr. Joe Gallenberger. Hello, Joe.
Hi, how are you doing, Charles?
We're doing fine, thank you very much. Now, got some fascinating topics here, and basically you are talking about psychokinesis and, if you like, parapsychological powers that can affect people's luck. Would that be right?
Yes, I guess beyond that, in terms of using psychokinesis, finding it's the same energy as for energy healing and for manifesting well in your life. And so the psychokinesis itself, like bending metal with your mind or growing seeds, sometimes we get root growth of an inch and a half in 2 minutes. Working with slot machines and dice give really quick feedback that you got the energy right to affect matter with your mind or with your energy. So that's mainly why I'm in it. And one of the places I've studied it for the last 20 years is in casinos. So that is where the luck comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this sounds to, like a lot of people, like, oh, magic, you know, I'll make mm-hmm. the dice fall the way I want them to do, or I'll make the wheels on the slot machines stop when I want them to. So explain a bit more about the process then. Is this somebody thinking hard and affecting the devices, or what?
Well, let's, Charles, let's start with the definition.
Yeah.
Telekinesis and psychokinesis are used interchangeably now. And you will see a lot of definitions that say affect matter with your mind. To me, the mind is more like the steering wheel of a car. It sets direction or intent, but the car goes nowhere without gas. So to what we found is the best gas, believe it or not, is unconditional love. That gives you lots of emotional energy to work with this. So basically, a person is connecting strongly with here, now, present reality on Earth, which a lot of people are not grounded that way,
mm-hmm.
and then connecting to high energies of what we could call of spirit, bringing those through to with some intent to affect physical matter. Whether that be the dice or a slot machine or other things we've mentioned. And believe it or not, in science now, this has been studied for decades. And if you do a Madden analysis of the data, it's what we would call a Six Sigma event, meaning the results taken together would indicate this would not even happen once in a billion by chance. So that's a billion with a B.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, they put out a new drug if it's 100-to-1 by chance as effective. So for most of the labs that have been involved in this, it's a known and proven if one has an open mind whatsoever. And now they're looking at why it works, how it works, the circumstances which could make it stronger or weaker, that type of thing.
One example of, I suppose you call it psi powers, that nobody has any problems with is dowsing. When you get some guy comes along and can find a water channel or where to put a well, and that mm-hmm. is something which apparently defies scientific logic. How can a man walking across a field, or woman walking across a field with a piece of twig in their arm, detect it? Yet I've seen water engineers from the local water authority, they carry dowsing rods with them to help them on their work. So that element is accepted. But when it goes beyond that, we still start having problems, don't we, in terms of acceptance by the scientific community?
Yeah, there's an interesting book called Science and Psychic Phenomena by Chris Carter, and the subtitle is Fall of the House of Skeptics. And he puts out the data for telepathy, remote viewing, which is being able to see things without regard time or distance, precognition, and the psychokinesis stuff, and then talks about the politics behind it. And it's an interesting coalition of debunkers where there you'd have fundamentalists, religious folks thinking this is of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
You have the materialistic group feeling there's no such thing besides physical matter, that we're 98 cents worth of chemicals, or with inflation, I guess $1.50 now. but they have the ear of traditional science and of politics, you know, and governments. But you know, I know some of the inside workings. One of the biggest debunking scientific organizations they did an experiment, believe it or not, in astrology, thinking that they could easily debunk that, and it came out positive. So they changed their charter to say, we will not look at anybody else's data and we will do no scientific experiments, yet they declare this is all bunk.
Yeah.
So if you go to places like Princeton University Anomalous Engineering Lab, there's lots of articles online about the theoretical physics behind this and many experiments, even with like 12 and a half million trials, showing these high levels of significance I mentioned. So it's an interesting thing. You know, I found the science lab pretty boring because they do things like you're supposed to send this PK energy for 48 seconds and then rest for 48 seconds and send it for 48 for 100 trials in a row. Meanwhile, you have 128 lead EEG on your head and there's not much incentive to continue. That's one of the reasons I went to casinos, because this is results driven. Mm-hmm. You know, think of a woman taking a car off her child if it was, you know, the wheel was over her car. It's a heavily motivating thing. And casinos, you know, if you do it right, you get rewarded with money within seconds. If you do it wrong, the money gets withdrawn. So you kind of are trained into this pretty quickly. And we find, Charles, most people can do it. It's a natural skill, much like dowsing, I think, is, and the intuition behind it. But just because it's natural doesn't mean it's easy. Mm-hmm. What do I mean? Say I, you know, going to sleep tonight, most of the audience and you and I would think, gee, I'm tired. I think I'll go to bed. Then we forget about that intention and we think of something else and we're asleep in 20 minutes. Hmm. But if I put you on TV and said, go to sleep in the next 20 minutes, I'll give you $1 million in front of 10 million people, you probably couldn't go to sleep.
Yeah.
Because now you're self-conscious, you're efforting, your ego is in the way, right?
Yeah.
And the same thing happens with psychokinesis. Kids do it easier than adults. If you're in a group and you see other people do it, it's encouraging to it. But if you get in your head and think, oh, this isn't possible, and if it is, even if it is, I can't do it, then you won't see any result. And then you'll say, see, there's nothing to this. But really, you're just proving your belief system, not the reality of the phenomena. Does that make sense?
It does indeed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, now tell us about your Liquid Luck book and the accompanying CD. Now, this is based on your experiments in casinos, is it?
Yeah, it's based on basically 20 years in this field working with Monroe Institute with the program called MC Squared up there, the casino stuff. But I wanted to, Charles, figure out a way that in 35 minutes or so, I could give a person a taste of this. And they'd have a reasonable chance of success. So I came out with the Liquid Luck CD meditation exercise. It's also available download. And it's using a technology called binaural bead and several other brainwave technologies to help a person get into a relaxed state within a couple minutes and then an expanded state of consciousness where they can image having great success. At PK or buying a lotto ticket or whatever it might be, selling a house, finding a soulmate. So I put the CD download exercise out, and within days began getting reports where people did sell houses in a day that had been on the market for 6 months, getting art commissions, finding soulmates, winning lotto tickets. And so eventually I wrote a book called The Liquid Luck Handbook to go with the CD, elaborating on why the different parts of the meditation exercise work so well. Because in the exercise, we are asking people to bring in happiness, feelings of abundance, feelings of gratitude, compassion to get out of ego, feelings of praise for the universe to kind of connect them, and then feelings of good fortune. And almost imagine that as a in a container in front of you of golden liquid. And then whenever you want it to have a lucky day, you take a drink. of the liquid luck liquid. And as a meditation technique, it's worked really well.
Right. Now, I can certainly see how anything that puts you in a positive frame of mind is going to help. And for example, selling a house, meeting a partner, things like that. If you're in a positive mind, you're going to be doing better than if you're negative and just looking on the downside. But how does this then work with something such as casino dice?
Sure. It's interesting, this whole area of psychokinesis to me, what I loved about it is it's very studyable. We know on dice exactly with two die, there's 36 combinations. A double should come up once in six rolls. You know, we know the statistics
yes.
cold.
Yeah.
And so if you have true dice that somebody hasn't messed with, we know exactly what should happen by randomness there.
Yeah.
So when we go out, say, to the Vegas Adventure Workshops, I've done 99 of those, and then they were put on hold for COVID.
Yeah.
We will give some energy preparation exercises before they go. The first full day there, we're meditating together, learning that this is possible, beginning to have the person know how to visualize, say they wanted double, 5-5 equals 10. The problem there is this is not your ego doing it, so other parts of you are doing it. They respond better to symbol and words. So somebody might draw five dots next to five dots on a flashcard and look at it, or draw it on their belly, or think of 6-3-3 equals six would be a six pack of beer if they miss their beer, or a tin of six muffins if they like their grandma's muffins. But we're trying to get a very strong symbol. This is what I want to the unconscious or to spirit, or whatever way you want to look at it. And then there is a building of great energy through the meditation, through breath work, and opening the heart, even looking at pictures of puppies being born or kitty cats or soldiers returning from war and reunited with their families, something to open the heart. And then with a wide open heart, when we go down to the tables, if the person has that intention to roll 5-5 equals 10, we have good luck. The number you don't want out there, for example, is 7. It comes up once in every 6 times by chance. And we've had, last workshop we did, we had a lady roll 48 numbers in a row with no 7. So we begin to see this change of pattern. And in a Vegas environment, if you roll that 5-5 equals 10, they'll pay you 30 to 1. So if you bet a dollar, you'd get $30.
Yeah.
And that's highly motivating. The energy goes even higher and makes it even more likely that you'll roll another one right after it. When people start this, usually they can hold this kind of energy for a minute or two, and then they learn how to extend it to maybe even as long as 2 hours to get that energy flow going. So we're working with lots of different things. That 48 seconds on and off I mentioned is affecting crystals in this box where nothing can penetrate the box except cosmic rays in terms of electromagnetic or vibrational stuff. And we get significant results. We use a lot of random number generators. They are picking 1 and 0 1,000 times a second, like a head-tail coin flip. It should end up 50-50, 100%, 50% 0, 50% 1. And so one experiment called ArtReg, they pick 2 pictures, kitty cat pyramid, and then you think you want the computer to pick all the pixels from the kitty cat picture. And when you do, the picture gets clearer and clearer and locks in as more and more pixels are picked that equal kitty cat. And when I did that in the lab, for example, we got 30,000 to 1 by chance. Well, slot machines have those random number generators in them too. So I can go to a slot machine and say, I'd like a royal flush and hearts. I know it's 160,000 to 1 by chance and get it in the first pull. So when you do this consistently, Charles, you begin to say, hey, there must be something to this.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So what sort of success of people who've been on your course, either on your courses or with the book and the CD? What sort of successes are they getting?
Liquid Luck, again, reports of changes for health. People say, one guy said, I won a $1,000 lotto scratch ticket 3 weeks in a row. Starting businesses, having business problems go away, getting unexplained money in the mail, those kind of things. In the casino environment, we have had people do well on roulette to equivalent of 1.6 billion to one by chance. On slot machines, 200 million to one by chance. The financial stuff we keep a little bit private, but let's say people can do really well. Quite a few people in the 100 workshops I've given in Vegas have come 10, 20 times because they learn so much. We've had people wake up the second day of the Vegas workshop pain-free from post-polio syndrome for the first time in 20 years. People who have had 20 years of fibromyalgia wake up finding that cleared. And when you apply this to healing, it gets mysterious. Probably it may work 50% of the time because there can be many reasons why an illness is there on a spiritual basis and other things. But we get some dramatic results at times with that. The like you say, positive attitude is good, and that spills into life in many ways to have a more positive life. Even as simple as you smile at a clerk, they smile back. Mm. But this is taking it to a place where I live in a rural area, and before COVID, I traveled 20 plus weeks a year. So when I'm home, I like to just stay on my mountaintop. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to town, I might need to stop at four or five different places, government agencies, banks, and things that usually have long lines. And I can go to town and come back having hit all five places successfully, parking lot right, place right in front, no lines, pleasant clerk, got what I wanted and got out, and be back in an hour back home when I use Liquid Luck before I go. So all those synchronicities of finding the parking space, getting in the right line if there is one, life flows differently. Mm. People will report that, a lot of synchronicity, serendipity kind of thing. We also, on the metal bending, it's interesting, physicists, these were two English guys, a book called The Metal Benders. They took pictures of the bent metal with PK under electron microscope. It looks different than if you bend it by force. And we can take very heavy metal. The heaviest our brand here in the U.S. is called a Nitaware stainless steel, where the strongest guy would not be able to bend it and bend it. I even have a photo of somebody in a lab in California who bent a pencil into a curlicue, a wooden pencil.
Yeah.
So you get these interesting PK effects. Lighting light bulbs, they've measured 400 volts off my hands when I'm lighting light bulbs, just holding it rather than plugging it into the wall. We've had reports of somebody lighting a six-pack of bulbs from across the room. They stay lit for 20 minutes. So we play with a lot of different activities to see, you know, what might happen, and activities that are positive and then very motivating if the person's successful.
Tell us a bit more about the healing side. I think you call it, do you call it manifestation?
Well, there'd be, I'm going to break it into three. PK, as psychokinesis, would be the kinds of things we're talking about where you take physical matter and before you, you see some change in it, like bent metal, mm-hmm. or Dyson patterns, or a slot machine jackpot. And then you have the manifestation stuff, which would be same kind of process. You're getting rid of your fears and doubts and limiting beliefs, and then you're raising terrific energy and you're visualizing what you're wanting and having your heart energy move to that. increasing the likelihood that something would come in your life that you'd like to manifest, such as a new car, soulmate, what have you. Mm-hmm. A specialized area, both of these would be what we call energy healing, would be often healing something within the physical body. So if a person's had a sore knee for 20 years, that they, after a session or two of energy healing, they report that the knee feels fine, and a year later, it's still fine. Folks have had reports of going in for completely clear scans after having, you know, tumors on the scans prior to that. Allergies, and you go into psychological, like ADD, mm-hmm. depression, anxiety. But it's the same principle of, say my ankle hurt, most people would go, gee, my bad ankle. Mm-hmm. You're off right there because you've disassociated yourself from your ankle,
yeah.
and you've called it bad. So here you would be hopefully doing a holistic approach, good diet, exercise properly, etc. Maybe you'd be using traditional Western medicine if needed. But as you apply the energy healing to your ankle, it would be more of a beginning to talk to the quantum energy in every cell, the cellular structures, muscle structures, cartilage, all the components down there, and seeing them in their highest and finest and coaxing them. When in a lab, when we apply this energy to physical systems, for example, they will take pristine DNA and have energy healers send good vibes to it, and the DNA relaxes and more messages are passed across the DNA fragment. If you think angry, the DNA collapses, constricts, and less messages get passed before. We filled beakers of liquid with bacteria, and so there might be 100 million bacteria in this vial or beaker, and we know this particular antibiotic will kill 97% of them in 20 minutes, and then we'll do the same with another beaker or vial, and we will have that vial protected by energy healers putting a ball of good energy around that vial. They put the antibiotic in, and even hours later, there's a good survival rate in the bacteria compared to the 97% dying in 20 minutes. So that gets rid of the placebo effect, if mm-hmm. you will, with bacteria, with the DNA tests. So they do tests four-way double-blinded, you know, rigorous science, and show that we can affect biological and physical systems with this energy that you could call PK. I think is a variant of the energy healing energy.
You've been doing this for how long now? 20 plus years?
Yeah, I've been a Monroe Institute trainer for 30 years, a clinical psychologist for about 35. Mm-hmm. Began pretty early in the time working at Monroe, learning about these meditation CDs that I mentioned, mm-hmm. or downloads that have the binaural beat and how powerful they are. And people come, atheists, Buddhists, fundamental Christians, Republicans, Democrats, whatever, and almost everybody responds well to this technology. So with the power of that technology, then I've began to first use this in clinical psychology practice to help with relaxation, reduce anxiety and depression, and then began to see, it's got even more power than that, and began in the area of the psychokinesis that I mentioned, mm-hmm. Going to various laboratories, learning about it there, and then wanting to get a black belt in psychokinesis, if you will. And found that Vegas was the best place to do that because it was so highly motivating, as well as we know the exact statistics of the games out there. So it's been a journey, probably 25 years at least now, personally, with me teaching at 20.
You're listening to the Weird Tales Radio Show with Charles Christian.
Have you found the more you do it, the better you get at it, or the easier it becomes, or do you sort of plateau after a point?
There's an interesting process of usually beginner's luck, if you will, at the beginning, where most people can do that, especially if they're in an excited group.
Yeah.
And then ego gets in there and can make it more challenging for a while. And then they reach a level of consistency. There's a guy who wrote a book called The Selection Effect. He was using the random number generator, that idea of 1,000 decisions a second. And when he'd get to the equivalent of rolling, of flipping 10 heads in a row on a coin, he would begin to realize he was now fearing to continue success because it would change his whole belief system of how the world worked, and feeling failure because he didn't want it to end. And when he'd feel both success and failure, that's when it would collapse. Mm-hmm. But he found that one day he was thinking about his grandma and how much he loved her cookies and loved her care for him. And he was able to plow through that and give the equivalent of 15 heads in a row. And so he was identifying also this idea of if we can stay out of ego and stay in a loving flow, that these things get more powerful and consistent. So in the training over the 20 years, I've just gotten better and better at not letting ego get in the way. So initially, if somebody at the table said, oh, here comes Mr. Lucky, big bet big with him, I would get self-conscious and fail. Mm-hmm. If I was tired, I would fail. At this point, I can usually be very consistent, even if a fire alarm was going off in the building and, you know, five people were saying negative things around me, I can keep my mental frame in the kind of zone I need to. It's kind of like the zone in sports. Mm-hmm. So the more you train in sports, the more likely it is that you can stay in the zone.
Tell us a bit more about the getting rid of the ego, not getting rid of the ego, but not letting it dominate and being more open and loving. What exactly do you mean by the open and loving side of things?
Okay. To me, you know, I'm not using this in a, you know, new age airy fairy way.
That's what those meanings. A lot of people see it in that way and it distracts them.
Yeah. So what we're mainly trying to do, Charles, is get rid of fear. And fear is defined broadly as anything that would cloud love, if you will. So fear is a constrictive type of energy. And fear can show up as cynicism, boredom, anger, many different things. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, you get real angry. That's because you're afraid they were going to hit your car. Mm-hmm. So using the word fear broadly, that's the thing we're trying to soften. Because fear generates our survival program, them against us. And all of this is based on being mm-hmm. in unity with the spoon, in unity with the dice, in unity with the part of your body you're trying to heal, because you have to have the feeling of unity to feel connected to allow the energy to flow one place to another, if that makes sense. So
it does,
so
yes.
We're talking about maybe in the Greeks when they talk about agape, the highest form of love, that kind of unconditional loving space where you are not going them against us, I'm better than you or worse, all that comparison stuff, that stuff fades. And then, and this seems to be, heart math has done a lot, that the heart has an area of intelligence that even knows things before the mind does in precognitive studies, and that you can now technologically train yourself to have a more coherent heart energy. That demonstrates in the physiologically in the human heart, physically in a different kind of beat, you know, that's smoother. So we're aiming mm-hmm. for that. And then that belief area you mentioned is important. I got an example, a guy, he wanted a job. He wasn't having any luck getting it. And I said, well, what would you really like? He said, I like a job 2 months a year outside with pretty women in nice weather. Okay. And so he put that out in these meditative states. A guy called him from high school, sold him his business, which was an advertising boat at the ocean on the north shore of the US. And by the end of the year, he had three boats and a Lexus. Pretty girl in a bikini would drive the boat down the beach so everybody would notice. Coca-Cola would have one side, local restaurant the other, and advertising. The season was 2 months a year. But for most people, as soon as you say a job 2 months a year, they laugh. And it's game over. Your limiting beliefs have limited your thing to hard, unpleasant work. 60 hours a week equals job. That's the only thing you can create until you change the belief. So he was able to free up from that belief. And then he got something very close to what he was imaging for.
Right, I've got you. Yeah, yeah. So is there now an element that everybody has these powers, but most of us don't realize them because we're holding back with our beliefs? Oh, that's just nonsense. That's just airy-fairy nonsense. It'll never happen. And we're holding it back, and so it never will
happen. That's part of it, but most of us are, frankly, Charles, very energy-starved. From my opinion, we're designed to get unlimited energy and high quality directly from source. That could be beauty of nature, God, whatever you want to look at it as. Okay? And instead, we cut that off, and so we try to get energy mostly from other people by getting their attention, by being the good boy or the bad boy or the good girl or the bad girl or whatever, rescuer, mess, all these different roles. So we're so energy starved that it's not likely we can do any of this stuff we mentioned in energy healing or PK. So one of the first things is you got a good stream of energy. You got to get that going. Then, like you say, you got to open up your beliefs enough to say, oh, for the next 20 minutes, I'm going to act as if this might be possible. And then see whether you can find yourself with somebody very reputable, because that'll help your beliefs, who can do some of this and can kind of show you that it might be real. So if you went to an energy healer with a great reputation and your knee has been hurting like heck for a month and they touch your knee and the pain goes away, you can say, well, that was placebo effect or whatever, but it'll still get your attention. And then as you try in your own home to say, I'd like to see how many doubles I can roll in 100 rolls. And we do these classes now on Zoom virtually, and people come around the world for the Monroe class called MZ Squared that I teach. And for example, we did that with dice, and we had the people rolling 10 each, so we can add that up to 110 rolls. And we know we should get 18 doubles by chance, and we got 34. So when you see that, the people in that group go, maybe there's something to this. And then as they see seeds grow differently, if you send energy to them or not, or you see metal bend, you're getting there. But if you have strong belief that it's all bull and it's all got to be fake, that's going to definitely be in your way. When they do PK studies, they find one of the biggest correlators of whether you can do this or not in a lab when they have 100 subjects come through is whether they believed it was possible to begin with.
Now, you mentioned that your classes, your Vegas adventure workshops have been held up by COVID.
Yes.
Has there been any angle, a COVID angle of that? Have people who've following your methods fared better during COVID than those who haven't? Or have you seen any evidence there?
I've seen anecdotal. I have a home study course called SYNC, S-Y-N-C, Creation, C-R-E-A-T-I-O-N, with the website synccreation.com. And it's a home study version of this. It comes with dice and spoons to bend and dice and seeds to grow. And the meditation techniques and a workbook to get over these limiting beliefs and raise energy and all of that good stuff. And it comes with three individual coachings with me. And I have it on what I call a COVID special, basically. Reduced price and all to help, because I think it's very unwise for the world to be in fear to the extent it is now for our group manifesting. So when people, you know, have sold many of those courses over the time of COVID here, and people report it helps them detach their energy from all the hysteria in the news, their health feels good, and they've had, I haven't had a report of COVID, them having COVID, in any of the people that I've taken the course with. There may be some I don't know of, you know, I can't claim that that would keep it away. But again, because it activates good intuition, it might also activate when or when not to go into a store, when to wear a mask, whether to get your, which particular inoculation, those kinds of things. But in the U.S. here, people are pretty locked down still, Charles, with, I don't know how it is in U.K., but I'd say 80% of people are masked and trying to be kind of careful. And I do know probably a dozen people who have died of COVID who are not related to my coursework or anything, but just somebody's in-laws, family, that kind of thing, you know, where you hear tell of it. It's a tough little bugger. So I think it's a good time to have your immune system toned up to max, which you can, all the things we're talking about today, positive, help with that. But the home study sync creation has been very popular in COVID because a lot of people have a lot of time at home.
Yes.
So it gives them something to do constructive at home, and if they've had interest in this before.
Yeah. And presumably when lockdown ends, and over here in the UK as well, we're still largely under lockdown. There's some easing, but I don't think we'll be fully back to normal till about June. But once lockdown, COVID lockdown is over, will you then be going back to Vegas and running your courses and things?
Yeah, I think so, because I love doing them. I learn something every time. I love that energy. It's a very joyous feeling when you're doing this. And I love the positive results for folks. And there's still quite a bit of demand. So for here, we're aiming at maybe the fall. Figuring by then, because we usually have people traveling from all over the world, so we want it to be, you know, under control for safety. But we're planning to get back out there. I kind of miss it. I love going to slot machines and hitting one after another after another.
What about looking forward just generally? I've spoken to a number of people who are of the view that the, if you like, the scientific acceptance of PK and related phenomena is sort of on the cusp of breaking through, and that over the next few years we are likely to see it becoming more mainstream, more accepted, that this is something real and demonstrable. Do you take that view, that, you know, we're moving in the right direction and it's no longer going to be, you know, with all respect, everybody sort of is a bit, oh, well, you know, it's a bit wacky. Do you think it's
going to become... Charles, one of the big powers on that is the internet, rather than, you know, like religion held its views that the world was flat or whatever, center of the universe for a good while. And science has got a little bit of a traditional religious quality to how strong its belief systems are about certain things. And the quantum physics is wearing away at that. It's showing us that the universe is stranger than we thought and might be based on consciousness. But the main thing is now on the web, you know, you can see pictures. There's a new series coming out called Superpowers. It's under superpowersfilm.com of 9 free episodes starting April 6th, I think, in the U.S. Very well done. Talking about the power of intuition, for example. I'm in most of the 10 episodes, as well as 35 other people, many of good reputation, like Bruce Lipton, Dean Radin. And it's got 200,000 or 300,000 views already. Signed up for when it comes out. It'll, you know, the episodes will be free, so anybody can watch them around the world. And they bring the scientists in one after another who are working in this area in a way that doesn't sound airy-fairy or weird. You know, it's Hollywood production in terms of very nicely filmed and beautiful. And there's more and more of that type of project coming out that, and young people, particularly, I'm 71, we get a lot of people in their 20s and 30s now highly interested in this. And so I think all these factors converging together, you're going to see a good bit of progress in this in the next decade.
And what about you with your projects? What have you got planned other than obviously doing the Vegas Adventure workshops when you can? But any new book projects or anything else you're working on at the moment?
Yeah, I'm excited about that superpower film thing coming out. I'm working with a guy to develop a video game that would enhance people's consciousness and begin to introduce these kind of concepts we're dealing with through the format of a video game, because that's another powerful way to get information out. I continue to do meditation download CDs and downloads. My latest is the Heart series, Forgiving Heart, Ocean Heart, Abundant Heart, Healing Heart, to bring these things into more focus for people for under $20, you know, so that they can get a taste of this. Yeah. And those are on my website as well. I just get thrilled with it. There's a lady who had MS and pronounced terminal in the U.S., 20 tumors in her brain. And she went to Russia and had her whole immune system wiped. And she listened to my Abundance Waterfall, Imagining a Waterfall of Health, for 40 days. And she's doing great. And she attributes part of that to the conditions brought about by doing that meditation. So I love, you know, hearing stories where people are bringing it in. In the U.S., one of the things that incentivizes now is traditional medicine is getting so inaccessible and expensive that people are looking for alternatives that might work.
Does your work, you've mentioned the woman with the tumors, I mean, that I know from people over here, when you are diagnosed with a cancer of some form, the medical advice seems to be almost, well, that's it, you know, your days are numbered, check yourself into a hospice almost. Whereas I know a number of people who've personally gone off and tried alternative therapies and different approaches and appear to be beating the condition and are leaving their traditional medical practitioners stunned by it. You know, because obviously they can't explain it.
My wife had a cancer diagnosis a few years ago, and we went to Austria for non-traditional immunotherapies and things that now they're doing pilot studies in the U.S. about. But she continues with both an integrative oncologist who knows Western medicine very well, but is also up on non-usual methods of using drugs that we use for other things, and also looking at, you know, a variety of things we might put in this area of energy medicine. And you're seeing more of that integrative, particularly now when people are at last resort, when doctors in traditional have said, you're stage four, there's nothing more we can do, then they often will go to a clinic in Austria or Mexico or other places where some of this exploration is more allowed. And because my wife has been in this process, we know, you know, a dozen people at least that were stage four, and they've been stage four for 10 years, 5 years, where they were given a few months. And their tumor markers are down, and the tumors by MRI and stuff have shrunk or disappeared. So, and the docs sometimes just go, I won't treat you if you do any of that non-traditional stuff. Others go, interesting, tell me more about it. Others put it under spontaneous remission. But there's cracks in their belief system, if you will, because they're seeing reports. And many of these clinics, like the one we went to in Austria, are keeping good data. You know, they're showing their protocols work. a little better, at least, than some of the traditional ones of chemo and radiation. Mm-hmm. That said, sometimes those are appropriate too, so you have to have wisdom. And I would start with a traditional fellow or a woman, but a doctor, but I mm-hmm. would get one that was also open to you trying other things complementary to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I've probably covered everything I wanted to cover with you. Are there any particular points you think I should have mentioned or points you want to get across that we haven't discussed so far?
Well, no, Charles, it's been a pleasure. I guess I'd leave people with, I have a phrase that I've found really useful, particularly during COVID, but for the last many years. And I liked it so much, and I've told so many people about it, that somebody even gifted me with a plaque that is on my wall with the saying on it. And my favorite phrase is, fear is expensive, love is priceless, choose wisely. And when you're looking at manifesting or doing any of this, look at it as a barometer. If you are in 90% fear and only 10% desire, and that fear includes not only emotion, but nah, this couldn't mm-hmm. work kind of belief, it's likely you'll get exactly what you don't want. If you get to 50-50, things begin to come in with struggle. If you can get to 80% desire and only 20% fear, they come a little easier. And if you get to 90% desire, only 10% fear, you don't have to be perfect and get rid of all fear, then that's when you see things flow and, quote, miracles happen, and just the right person calls you at the right time, and you pick for the right scratch ticket, whatever it is. So one way you can see where you are at is say, where am I on that mm-hmm. barometer? How much fear do I got? How much clean energy do I have to work with for what I want? And if you're still mostly in fear and doubt and skepticism, work on that first.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Let's just have that phrase that you've got on your wooden plaque. What's that again?
Yes. Fear is expensive. Love is priceless. Choose wisely.
That's wonderful. I think that's a perfect note to end on. So, Dr. Joe Gallenberger, it's been brilliant talking to you. Very interesting indeed. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Charles, for having me. And we wish everybody a great week. Huh?
Yes, indeed. Once again, a big thank you to Dr. Joe Gallenberger, who, despite my niggling, refused to say how much money he and his students have won at the casino tables and slot machines. There again, I suppose I shouldn't be surprised, because if he ever went public, he and his students would probably be barred for life or ever again stepping foot inside Las Vegas. You can find Joe's books on Amazon, and his websites to check are syncreation.com, innervegas.com, and liquidluckbook.com. We'll also have all the links loaded up on the website. Time for an urban myth, and we are back here in Norfolk, and we're looking at the Church of St. Mary, which is in East Somerton, which is between Martham Broad, one of the little lakes that are around this part of the countryside, and the coastal town of Winterton-on-Sea. It's a ruined church. There's only part of the tower left and part of the nave. The bit in the middle, the chancel, has long since gone. And it's one of the most photographed church ruins in the county. In fact, probably one of the most photographed church ruins in the country. The reason is there is a large oak tree growing up out of the ground in the middle of the church, overshadowing everything. The roof's long gone, up into the sky. Now, there is a legend, oh yes, which says the tree is not natural. The legend is that a wicked witch was once buried in the church, and she had a wooden leg. And yes, you've got it. After her death, her wooden leg sprouted and grew up and became a huge tree, eventually destroying the roof of the church and causing it to be abandoned. Well, that's the tale. There is a slight problem with it, because the last thing any
parson of a Christian church would do. Would we want a witch buried in the middle of it? If you were a witch or accused of anything of that nature, you'd be buried at a crossroads if you were lucky. If you were very unlucky, you'd be just dumped in a ditch and left to rot. There's also the fact that if you look at the tree, you can see it's definitely early 20th century. It's just not big enough to be an ancient tree. Yet the church, which was built in the 13th century, it was abandoned in the 17th century. So the roof would have gone and it would become ruined long before that particular oak tree had sprouted. So, wicked witch, no. Probably more a squirrel burying an acorn, I'm afraid. We're almost out of time again, but before we go, one of the big stories in recent weeks, at least over here in Europe, has been the saga of the MV Ever Given, the giant container ship that was stuck in the Suez Canal for a week. So, let's have some vital statistics for all you geeks. We were kindly sent a graphic revealing that the Ever Given was 400 metres in length. That's over 1,300 feet, if you're an old-school non-metric like me. Compared with the USS Enterprise, that's the starship in Star Trek, which is merely 305 metres or 1,000 feet in length. So, the Evergreen is 1.33 US Enterprises in length. And if you're not happy with starships as an international unit of measurement, I can offer you the Red London double-decker bus as an alternative. The Ever Given is the equivalent of 47.5 of the classic Routemaster buses in length. These are the buses that were the mainstay of London transport for 50 years and the ones you inevitably see in movies. The Enterprise, by the way, equates to 36.3 buses in length. Now it just remains for me to say, this is Charles Christian saying, thank you for listening in. Please join me again next week. Until then, stay well, stay weird. Goodbye.
Black Shuck, the demon dog of East Anglia, is baying at the moon. Which means it's time for us to go. You've been listening to the Weird Tales radio show with Charles Christian, your weekly fix of ghost stories, urban myths, witchcraft, folklore, and the paranormal. You can keep in touch with us online at www.urbanfantasist.com, by email to urbanfantasist@icloud.com, and on Twitter at @urbanfantasist. Join us again next week for another edition of the Weird Tales radio show. Goodbye.